There, I skipped over the title real quick, but want to talk with you this afternoon, as Kay said, about some recent experience that we've had in Kane County. And I'm a little disoriented because I've been with the foundation now for 3 weeks, so I keep referring to myself or Kane County as us and our. So just, you know, kind of go with the flow there. I'll be a local health officer at least for the talk today. But I am thrilled now to be a part of the public health team at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and be happy to talk to you about that work in another setting. But what I'd like to do this afternoon is really talk a little bit, as Kay kind of set the table here, talk about the recession and the impact of the recession on one local health department, talk about how that health department approached this as a strategic opportunity. And then since this really took place 18 months ago, we now have an opportunity to say, well, how is it going? And I titled my talk kind of 18 months after a total makeover. I refuse to call it an extreme makeover. So let's delve into it. So Kane County, Illinois is 40 miles west of Chicago. It's one of the rapidly growing counties in kind of the far western suburbs of the Chicago area. Very diverse community, actually has the highest percentage of Latino residents of any county in Illinois. So that's percentage, not absolute numbers. But rapidly changing, growing population, and kind of a diverse community setting. This is a map of our county, and you can't see it too well, but the different colors there represent our urban corridor on the eastern side of the county, suburban, and then going into rural. And I'll reference this a little bit more later when I talk about kind of some of our population-focused practice and how we've integrated with land use planning and transportation planning on the county level. One of the things that's true about Kane County, that's one of, I think, two or three counties in Illinois that has no separate Board of Health. The county board is the County Board of Health, 24 members that are all elected in districts, and one countywide chairman. So the problem that we are facing is the problem that everybody's been facing. And what we really looked at, and oops, I guess it's the next slide. But what we were looking at after 2008, and this is now June of 2010 that we were looking at this particular issue, is that we had lost $1 million in revenue, which represented a little bit over 10% of our revenues at the County Health Department over a couple of years. And we were faced with this situation in Illinois where the revenue for the state was going down, that's the top graph, and the amount of time that they were taking to pay their bills was going up. And in fact, at the time of June of 2010, we had about $2 million in receivables with the state of Illinois. And we were hearing that we're going to have additional cuts. And this slide shows the impact of these incremental cuts on our and the late payment delays on our fund balance in the county for the County Health Department. The green line was the 2010 year, and as you can see, it's at this point of time in June, the fund balance is down to about $1 million. That was both a violation of county policy that we needed to have 3 months in reserve, which is what the green line, the horizontal green line represents, about $2.2 million. And it also really, just from a business standpoint as a local health officer, knowing that we have to deal with things like TB outbreaks and so on, having our cash reserves being nibbled away was not a good thing. So what we looked at was really trying to reframe this as, okay, we're being nibbled to death by ducks. Are we going to continue to let that nibbling go on, or are we going to take a different approach? And we elected to take a different approach. Now, the case study on this is published in the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice of March, April of this year. And I'm not going to go into all the details that article does, but I would just reference that for you. But basically, these are the three things that we did. We transferred our direct client services to three federally qualified health centers. And so part of that was transferring the funds as well. And what we did as a result of that, we had to do a reduction in force of about 50% of our staff. And with that kind of reduction of force, we then had to reorganize. And we chose to reorganize based on the FAB standards that were then out as kind of the basis for how we're going to set up our organization. This slide just kind of gives you the parameters of what we were and what we became in terms of some absolute numbers. And one of the things that we did as part of our reorganization was rewrite each and every job description in the health department. We reorganized our categories and created community health specialists 1, 2, and 3. And the community health specialist 3s are a totally new set of positions that were totally population-focused. Each of our jobs in every category had a focus on the essential services of public health, emergency preparedness and response, and quality improvement. But these three, these community health specialist three positions really represented new population-focused jobs. And as an example, we had a public health planner for the first time. We added some epidemiology capacity. We added a quality improvement coordinator. Now, I won't go into all the detail about the controversy this was, but this slide just is up there to remind us that this was a policy decision. It was very contentious. Ultimately, the county board did vote with a two-thirds majority to make this change, but it did have a huge impact on the discourse in our community and on the way that people did view public health. So what have been the results after 18 months? I'm going to want to kind of walk you through kind of four areas, looking at the financial impact, the impact on maternal child health services, because those were the direct services we did transfer. Talk a little bit about the changes in our population health practice focus, and then lastly but not least, talk about the impact on QI and accreditation in this department. So first, in terms of financial sustainability, just a few indicators of the change. This shows the change in our fund balance over the period of time from the change, the restructuring, the layoff, the transfer of services took place in November of 2010. And so now this looks going forward, and again, looking at the green line of kind of what our target was in terms of maintaining that fund balance. So we have been able to turn that around. And here looks at our kind of the last two fiscal years and kind of where we ended in each year. And you can see in 2010, and this is not a big surprise, when you do a large staff reduction, there are costs, of course, to that. They are one-time costs, but you're not going to turn around fiscally in 1 year. But indeed, in looking at the second year in 2011, so this is now December of 2011, we see that we did basically $1 million turnaround in our budget. In the current fiscal year, and the county is in about halfway through its fiscal year, we did forecast and are experiencing a slight increase in revenues. We added back two positions, and we're projecting, again, a positive financial margin at the end of the year of about 2%. So what about the impact on maternal child health services? This was one of the major concerns, obviously, from the community. And it was certainly our concern as a health department. We didn't want to do something that would have a negative effect on the vulnerable populations in making this change. So on our website, and this is canehealth.com, there's a linkage to ongoing reports, which is what we promised the board and our community that we would do, is track on a quarterly basis what the MCH impacts were going forward. These reports are based on now the FQHCs, and the logos are down there, along with a well-child program that is really not a primary care provider but a WIC provider. And these five organizations collaborate on putting together the report every quarter and then talking about it both with the county board, public health committee, as well as the perinatal committee, which is really a systems committee in the community, including the hospitals and physician providers. So what we've found, and again, I would urge you to go to the website to see the report in detail, but each quarter we track the demographics and the caseload across the entire county, and what it showed was that indeed people that were eligible did maintain access to this program. People did not start falling through the cracks. These are three process or kind of process slash intermediate outcome measures that we track over time. The baseline is over to the left, the first set of graphs in each one of these charts. And basically it's looking at, the top one is looking at integration of WIC and case management. Second is first trimester entry into care. And then third is breastfeeding initiation and duration. And what we see across these indicators is that we have seen some points where we've had variation, but kind of at the end of this period so far, we do see that we're at least, and in some cases, at least as good and in some cases better on these process measures as we've tracked them over the time since the change. So going into our third category, I wanted to talk a little bit about the shift in focus of practice, again, from being kind of a health department that did both individual services and population-focused practice to now one that really does probably about 85% of its focus is on population health. And a couple of things that I just want to emphasize. One is our recent community health assessment and improvement plan that was done in a collaborative fashion. Secondly, talk about the impact on our cross-sectoral planning and policy impact. And really talking about, thirdly, how that impacts policy systems and environmental change. So the first thing in terms of the community assessment, and again, we took the opportunity of having new staff trying to meet the accreditation prereq standards and the new ACA requirements for hospitals to really go and create a partnership with our hospitals that serve our county. And then we also reached out to our two United Ways that serve our two largest cities and our mental health board, and together funded a very comprehensive community health assessment and improvement plan. Now, I know many communities are doing that. What we're trying to do with this as well is try to line up those community benefit dollars. And again, it's too early to tell if we're going to be able to see that happen across all of the hospital systems. But it's something that we are monitoring. One of the things, again, that we do a lot of outreach through our website. And in this one, we do have a whole section of the website that is on our community health assessment and improvement planning process. In this centerpiece here is a little video from one of our local TV stations where I was actually talking about health planning with one of our engineers from one of the city traffic and transportation departments. So it was a different kind of approach in talking about health planning and health improvement. This is just the cover of our health assessment and improvement plan, the executive summary that's there. And then I just wanted to show that we did end up with four community health priorities. And I think it's important to remember that these are then the priorities for the hospitals as well as the United Ways and the Mental Health Board. And while the first two, supporting health behaviors and increasing access to high-quality prevention services, are certainly somewhat traditional kind of health improvement goals, I think the third and fourth goals that have to do with promoting healthy towns, cities, and neighborhoods, or health promoting health cities, towns, and neighborhoods, and promoting social and economic and educational environments that optimize health really reflect kind of the shift that we made to really much more of a focus on social determinants. As part of that whole shift, we were able to work very closely across the sectors in the county to have an impact on transportation and land use planning as well. And this is actually a website that was created by the county board chairman to focus on the collaboration, which she really framed as a quality of life issue, and that health was a key component to that. And so really emphasizing the joint planning and then the policies that can result from that. Okay, so the fourth area I wanted to talk about was QI and accreditation. Now, one of the things that I didn't mention is that, you know, with a large layoff like this, you really have to really reframe the whole set of relationships inside the organization. And we used a model of change to guide us from a book, and I had this up on a prior slide, called Switch. And this model is evidence-based, and it really talks about change as being something that if we're really trying to make change in an organization, we have to engage people with their heart, their mind, and then use the environment to kind of reinforce that. What we did as we went into this new organization, essentially with half the staff that we had before, was use QI as a set of tools to particularly engage everyone in the department in terms of their mind and then also their environment. We had other things that we certainly tried to do to engage people's hearts. But what this slide shows is that as we deliberately used QI and introduced QI tools, is that we did assessments over time of staff's needing training on QI tools. And this one shows that, again, the 2011 is blue, January 2011 is blue, and then June of 2011 is red. And what you can see is that the training needs have decreased over time. The staff using tools has increased over time. So we provided the training, and they actually did start shifting in the environment where they did use the tools. And our staff were encouraged, and every staff member was encouraged to be a part of a QI team. And we used these throughout the organization. And so people reported a shift in their interest in QI. And we did this on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being complete disinterest and 10 thinking that this is the coolest thing ever. And we started out with people feeling pretty indifferent at 5. But what you can see is that over the 3 months that we tracked here, that people in the staff really moved from a disinterest to, again, moving up to a 6 or 7. And in fact, the most frequent, the mode there is actually an 8. So we think that was pretty significant in terms of engagement. This is a very busy table that just shows that every part of the organization did have and identified a QI project that staff were involved in. And then these are just some of the results. And again, I'm not going to read these in the interest of time, but pretty significant results, I think, that we got through this level of engagement, through training, and through giving people the opportunity to actually use these QI tools. At the same time that we were going through this organizational change, and again, we very consciously used the FAB accreditation standards to frame our new organization, and that was something that we talked about all the time with staff and with our board, and so it was very natural that we went through a planning process as well to begin the process of accreditation. We established an accreditation committee and a set of work groups, involved all of our leadership staff, but we also involved a good number of our staff from across the organization as well. So we've gone through a process, And our FAB application was actually filed and accepted at the end of May before I left. So we feel that we've been on quite a journey. Again, I do believe that these are very, very ugly, adverse times that we're living through. But as Shakespeare says, I think that we can find the jewel and perhaps polish the jewels of public health within this kind of very, very tough environment that we're all living through at this point in time. So thank you very much. And I think we're taking questions at the end.